bit. Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Somebody else doing a wonderful job, and I love a good segue. Thank you, Robert. The Community Sector Banking Association have announced a series of grants, $200,000, to several organisations around Australia committed to reducing homelessness. Andrew Cairns is the CEO of Community Sector Banking. He joins us on the phone. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning, all.
Good to have you with us. We have to ask you a question first up.
Andrew, it's Robert Doyle here.
Hi, Robert.
I taught an Andrew Cairns. That's not you, is it?
No, I don't think so. I think I might be matching you for age.
Oh dear, you're decrepit in that case. So I didn't realise that. You sounded reasonably young. I didn't realise you were in the twilight years. You know, no wonder you're giving away money.
Andrew, talk to us about this.
He's weighed down by his chains now. Honestly, in his dotage,
the chains that he wears around his neck and the gown, isn't it?
The ermine's absolutely killing him these days, isn't it?
It's so warm in this studio. It's like we're all wearing ermines.
Yeah, exactly. Quite well. Andrew, one of the grants you've made is to the Gay and Lesbian Foundation of Australia in collaboration with Transgender Victoria, Launch Housing and Drummond Street Services, developing a model of care to support trans and gender diverse people who are experiencing or at risk of homelessness. Why this particular sector?
Well, I think if you actually have a look back, we've been involved in with our social investment grants program for 3 years. And what we want to do is we want to actually invest and help people and organisations which improve the awareness of homelessness in Australia, but also come up with ideas that actually make a difference. And if you look at the Gay and Lesbian Foundation of Australia, what it's actually doing, I think, is very unique in trying to provide awareness and support about the trans and gender diverse people that are experiencing or at the risk of homelessness because of either situational poverty or emotional poverty or generational poverty or just life experiences which have, you know, put them in a hard place. And I think that by actually raising the debate and having a conversation, hopefully we can address and change the lives of 100,000 people that don't know where they're sleeping tonight.
Andrew, it's Robert again. I think you've chosen extremely well the partnerships that you've developed there. We work at the City of Melbourne with all of them, and they are outstanding, you know, in particular Launch. So you've obviously done your homework about how to get most bang for your buck. And as I say, I'd give a big tick to the organisations that you've partnered with.
Thank you very much. It is important to actually work with organisations to get things done. And, you know, the program which we actually have, or the grants program, is actually national. So we've got three categories of grants. We've got Category 1 grants, which are about $20,000 each. They're for five recipients right across Australia, all doing great things. And in Victoria, and particularly, if we actually have a look at, there's two. There's the Gay and Lesbian Foundation, but there's also Meals at Bridge Lifeline
up in the northeast.
And one of the things there is, if I may, Robert, you often see in the papers homelessness being addressed in the front page because it's a photo in the CBD of Melbourne, but it's actually everywhere. And we've got to actually get that awareness and people understanding that the problem of homelessness hasn't just kind of crept up on us. It's been, 40 years in the making. Well, it's actually been around for a long time, but it's been slowly increasing over the last 40 years. And we've got to actually change how we do things and how we work together and how we talk and how we act to ensure that we actually address the problem. Because it's not right to have a third world problem in a first world country.
It is not. And Andrew, I wonder, and it's probably a question for Michael and Robert as well as yourself, I don't know that we're tackling the problem at the cause or the prevention level rather than, we're almost in triage trying to manage a homelessness problem. But I don't know if we're investing enough in mental health services and various other services that actually contribute to homelessness in the first place.
No, we're not. But Andrew's model, and he's quite right, it's not just the CBD of Melbourne, is the first step. deal with people in their community of origin. You know, don't wait until they wash up on the shores of the CBD.
Yeah.
And that's a very important first step. But you're right, mental health, substance abuse, domestic violence, trauma in the home, you know, change of circumstance, affordability, you know, all we know all the causes. We're not really getting behind yet to deal with those. You're quite right.
Michael, you live in the Yarra Valley, which is sort of on the knocking on the fringe of the CBD.
Yes, but there are a lot of socioeconomic problems up there, believe you me.
And how is there an obvious homelessness problem in the Yarra Valley like there is here?
It's not, because there's more room, and there is actually a larger, or places like Millgrove, say, which is, I think, is still still one of the poorer demographically suburbs in Victoria. It actually began in many ways as a kind of a, well, it was a logging community originally, but then it sort of evolved into a government housing, one of the first sort of government housing projects, for good and for bad. But I mean, unfortunately, it sort of got stuck there. It's got stuck. And so these become generational issues, and that's where it gets really hard to break. I mean, you know, we're working on the ABC, 3 years in Tasmania, you see this endemically down there, and how do you break cycles? It's very hard, as you know, Robert.
And it's not just the rough sleepers. They're the tip of the iceberg.
It's
the people who are couch surfing,
and
people sleeping in their cars, people in rooming houses, you know, people staying with friends and hopping from friend to friend.
I'm worrying that we're becoming harder as a community. We're becoming less
altruistic.
Less sympathetic, less altruistic. We're using the excuses. No, I'm not going to give because they're on drugs. It's a scam. I think people are using these excuses more than they used to.
Now, Andrew, I very rarely disagree with you, Michael, but do not give money to beggars or homeless people. Do not do it.
Really?
No, do not.
Do we buy them food?
That's the official line from Melbourne's mayor. Okay,
and from all of the service providers, give it to the Salvos, give it to Launch. You know, support some of the things that Andrew's supporting here, but do not give
and
it directly
to beggars.
And for
what reason?
Because essentially it won't be used for accommodation or food.
It'll be used for other things.
You know,
Andrew, we don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to mention briefly the banking sector is not traditionally seen as altruistic in some people's eyes. Is this a brave step, or is this something that just is an ongoing program that recognises the very first word of community in the community banking sector?
I think you raise a very interesting point there. People have actually forgotten why banks were started in the first place. The origins of banks were back in the 1400s for people that had more money than they needed for their standard of living and quality of life, that actually wanted to have a relationship with someone where they wanted money to actually improve their standard of life or way of living. Somehow, we've actually forgotten that and thinking it's about transaction. Whereas to us, I think that the role of a bank is not to feed off prosperity, but to feed into prosperity. So if you can take an everyday activity like banking, and it's a really big industry, and actually derive profits off that that can actually be invested back into the community, which is fundamentally what this grant program is all about, then you can make a difference. It's important to understand the actual ownership structure of community sector banking. It's half owned by Bendigo and Adelaide Bank, which I think a lot of people know and has a long history with community. But it's also half owned by a company called C21, or Community 21, which is made up of a number of large not-for-profits. And it was specifically set up so that it could bank, the industry could, or the sector could bank itself, derive profits, and invest it back into the industry, and actually get creation of social impact. And if I just go back to one point, I think, if I may quickly, just on housing. Housing services, unfortunately, are triage. It's right at the last end, because, as Robert said, if you can get someone into a house, you get increased all the social indicators improved. You get increased confidence, you get connection with the community, you actually get productivity, capability, all those things, and people feel safe. And imagine the confidence that you can actually have when you can fill out an address on a form,
exactly, or put it on some sort of CV. Andrew, we do have to go. I'm really sorry to bump into you there. We do need to move along. We'd like to get you back in the next little while, and
love
we can talk
to.
More about the organisation.
Thanks, guys.
Good on you. That's Andrew Cairns. He's the CEO of Community Sector Banking, supporting grants for homelessness. I think what he's doing is great.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.